I want to give Glenn Durham credit for some of the introductory material as part of this sermon today, in a sermon that he had entitled The First Promise. Singer and songwriter Michael Card called his Christmas album The Promise. And the words of the title song in that album are as follows. The Lord God said, when time was full, he would shine his light in the darkness. He said a virgin would conceive and give birth to the promise. For 1,000 years the dreamers dreamt and hoped to see his love. But the promise showed their wildest dreams had simply not been wild enough. The promise was love. And the promise was life. The promise meant light to the world. Living proof that Yahweh saves. For the name of the promise was Jesus. Christmas is preeminently about God's promise. A promise that was made way back in the beginning, recorded for us in Genesis chapter 3. The promise of a Savior that would be born of woman, who would, in the words of that beautiful Advent hymn, O come thou rod of Jesse free, thine own from Satan's tyranny, from depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory o'er the grave. So as we begin this Advent season, on somewhat a note of sorrow, yet it really is also a moment of joy, a moment of celebration, because Jesus came, because he died upon the cross of Calvary, because he rose again, because he lives, we too live, and we can face tomorrow. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Aren't you glad for that this morning? Sadness to gladness, sorrow to joy. He has overcome sin and death. Because Emmanuel, God is with us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we have beheld the glory of the one and only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That victory was declared way back in the Garden of Eden. The promise was given. So the Lord, Yahweh, I am. The Lord God, Elohim, said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You'll crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heels. The victory was declared. The enemy was defeated. It was spoken as truth, as fact, as reality, way back in the Garden of Eden. The Apostle Paul said, before the foundation of the world, before all of creation, the plan of redemption was already in place. Emmanuel would come. God would be with us. During this Advent season, we'll be looking at some specific benefits that come as a result of the fact that God chose to dwell with us. In Matthew 1, 20 and following, after he, that's Joseph, considered all the things that were going on in his life, and remember that Joseph was a real human individual dealing with real events, like the woman he was going to be married to was with child, and he didn't have anything to do with it. And the angel said to him, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." You're a part of that group. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: a virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. The coming of Emmanuel was a promise. It was the hope for people. Now, most people don't understand hope. They think of it as some kind of wishful thinking. But the bottom line of biblical hope is it's a firm assurance. It's not wishful thinking, it's fact in Christ. We're moving into that time of year once we get past the United States Thanksgiving, where Christmas begins. Black Friday, the rush to spend all your money in gift giving. It's also the time when people begin to say, "We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year." We'll cut it off there. The salutation, Merry Christmas. In our world today, it sees its greetings. It's Happy Holidays. And I hope to enlighten you. I use that word hope deliberately. In the biblical sense, to help you understand that to put Christ back into Christmas is not just a nice thought. It's an absolute necessity in our world. Because the elements that I'm going to share with you, we're going to share one with you today, that are connected to the coming of Emmanuel, God with us. The incarnation, the birth of Jesus Christ into our world, is powerfully significant in its effect upon our world at the vibrational frequency level, the quantum physics level. And when Christ is removed from Christmas, and Christmas is removed from the celebration of the season, our world is damaged in ways that we have not before really understood. And so I hope to reveal some of that to you in an attempt, and here's my intent, to help us do what we can to change that. Donna was sharing how she encouraged a lady in the store to buy Christmas cards that said Merry Christmas rather than season's greeting. That's far more important than you can even begin to imagine. Our focus for today will be upon that which the biblical definition is of confident expectation, hope. The coming of Emmanuel, God with us, was a declaration of hope and promise by God Himself way back at the beginning when sin began to rule this world. And so we need that promise and its fulfillment. And three reasons for that is because, first of all, of Satan in our world. Satan rebelled. He was cast out of heaven. God, in His plan, kicked him down to earth. And he began to do his damage back in the Garden of Eden. In C.S. Lewis's book, The Silver Chair, the evil witch appears as a most beautiful lady. Her voice is the voice of an angel. She has charms that disarm people. Her words soothe hearts. She weaved an entrapment around her victims until they were defeated. And then the symbol of Christ in C.S. Lewis's series, Aslan the Lion, appears. And when the name of Aslan is declared, the power of the witch was diminished. And in her rage of this happening, her true form was revealed as a hideous serpent coiling around Prince Rillian. God's word tells us that Satan comes deceiving as an angel of light, that he's a liar, he's a cheat, he's a thief, and he will even use good things as a mechanism to tempt and to trip up God's people. An attempt to destroy them. He lies, he deceives, he hates God, he hates God's people. He goes around roaring like a lion, seeking those he can devour. And therefore, from that moment of decision and rebellion in Adam and Eve, in response to the temptation of Satan, we needed the promise. And we needed the hope that there would be a remedy for what had befallen humanity. Because of Adam and Eve's rebellion, all have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. It's in our DNA. We're born with it. It's part of humanity. And there was nothing that humanity could ever do to change it. And there was nothing that God could do outside of humanity to fix it. Therefore, the Word, God, became flesh. Jesus, totally human, totally divine, the sinless human, the second Adam, was God's plan in the fulfillment of the promise. The one mediator between man and God, Christ Jesus, who was able to do what humanity couldn't do for themselves. Emmanuel, God who dwelt with us. And the good news for us is that he doesn't just dwell among us. When we make the choice to say yes to Jesus Christ, to turn from our sins and repentance and faith, he dwells within us. And we become the children of God. That's good news, isn't it? Not only is there that problem of the fact that there's Satan out there, and not only is there the problem that we as humanity are sinful, but probably the biggest problem is that there's a self-based nature in us that is sinful, that is antagonistic towards God. And Jesus suffered outside the gates that we might be sanctified. That even the self can be reconnected with God. And we can be cleansed by the Holy Spirit. And filled with the Holy Spirit. That heart which is deceitful above all things and beyond cure, and who can understand it, can be cured because Emmanuel came. Christ amongst us. And the result of that is that while sin and Satan and self conspired to bring humanity down, the angel said to Joseph, "You'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin." The remedy, the promise was given that expectation that was assured was fulfilled. And we are the beneficiaries of that gift of God to us. And therefore, there is hope even in this sin-darkened world. Don't let anybody tell you. Don't certainly declare yourself, "Oh, this world is an awful place." This world was created by God. Sin has created a tyranny within it. But God is in control. God has not been defeated. Jesus is the same today as he was in the past, and he evermore will be. And there are things in this world that need to be changed. And there are countless people whose lives need to be transformed, but the answer is there. Christ has come. There is hope. There's hope for everyone. And we, the recipients of his love, recipients of his grace, recipients of his hope, have the opportunity and the privilege and the challenge to let the world know about it. Jesus, the hope of glory. This is the truth we share. Jesus, the hope of glory. Take it everywhere. That was an NYI, Nazarene Young People's theme song, a long time ago, when I was a teenager. Jesus is still the hope for everyone in our world. And when we declare Merry Christmas, when we declare, "May the Lord richly bless you in this Christmas season and the coming year," no matter how you fit Christ into that salutation, you are declaring into the world, you are declaring against the forces of spiritual darkness that Emmanuel has come. God is with us. And where God is, the enemy can't be. Jesus said, "I am." That's identification, as I as I shared before, he is declaring, I am God. I am Yahweh, the one who in the beginning was with God and was God, who created all things and brought them into being. I am the light of the world. And then he said, you're my light. And where there is light, darkness has been dispelled. Pray that God will light some more lights to replace those whose life on this earth has been put out, because now they're walking in the light of the eternal presence of God. We want more light. Light dispels darkness. Where God is, the enemy will not be. His power is gone. That's the hope that you are declaring when you say Merry Christmas or any of the other salutations which in some way include Christ. You are putting out at the vibrational frequency level the message to so many who believe that this world is beyond hope, that there is hope. There's always hope in Christ. And that's significant. And that's important for us. It's great news. When you turn to the Gospel of Matthew, you read right at the beginning about his gospel, the Gospel. And we know that the translation of the word Gospel is good news. The coming of Jesus is good news. It brings hope into a world that needs hope so much. We have that hope because death has been defeated. As Jesus rose, so we will rise. As Jesus came, he said, I've come to bring life. Bring it to the full. I've come to bring life eternal. I am, he said, the way, the truth, and the life. That's hope. And so, in that context, like that understanding that Emmanuel has come, God is with us, we are declaring in that Christmas salutation to the world, you have hope. Not wishful thinking, but an expected reality because of who Jesus is and what he's done. And that ought to encourage us. Should it not? And therefore I encourage and challenge you to take every opportunity to seek to influence against the political correctness as it's now being labeled in what this season is about. And to firmly stand upon the declaration Emmanuel has come. God is with us. There is hope. Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
And a Happy New Year! And for that, that's the challenge for us. You see, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. And so even in the midst of the sorrow that we feel, our sadness can be turned to gladness, and that sorrow can be turned to joy, because the promise was fulfilled. The hope has come. The hope is here now. It's based upon the reality of what Jesus has done for us at Calvary. It is finished. It was not a declaration of defeat. It was a declaration of victory.